We do reserve, we could repeal it after if we feel that it's not needed. There are several people that have actually got rid of Comcast and are cutting the cord and going with other services. The fee is only on your video. It is not on your internet or your equipment that is at your house. So I pulled up my Comcast bill to try to see exactly what my video portion would be. And they don't break it out that way, so I'm going to call them and ask exactly what my fee is, you know, as far as the video, because I have that triple play bundle. But I'm not sure why they were charging it before, and I guess if they were just getting it, I don't know that they were passing it on to the town.
No.
We just went to Comcast, so.
Yeah, so the town had the authority to charge a franchise fee to Comcast. With the maximum of 5% of the gross revenue. And in the past, the town hadn't done so, but the Comcast franchise agreement, which has been in place for, I think 20 or 30 years, came up for renewal. And so going through negotiating the terms of the new agreement, we came up on the discussion of the franchise fee, and a lot of other towns are doing it now, and I think it's more in the norm to do it than not to do it. So we discussed with Comcast, and they advised that had the town charged the 5% franchise fee on their gross revenue last year, they would have generated $34,343. And so the mayor and council made the decision to enforce the 5% franchise fee on Comcast. I don't know why. I can't answer why they charged it in the past. That would be a question for Comcast and one you should most certainly take up with them, because the town has not authorized a franchise fee in the past.
So was it?
I did take it up with them when the issue arose 10 years ago, and as such, it is still not been resolved in a manner that I agree with. In turn, why not earmark the monies if it is decided to enact the fee? Why not earmark those monies specifically for the IT needs of the municipality?
I mean, that's a good idea. We can do that. I mean, there are some upgrades that we just did that we've used other monies to pay for. There's some other things that, it would be nice to have, like, a nice camera system or whatever for broadcasting meetings and stuff, so.
In general, I don't have a problem with the franchise structure, with the franchising authority. I have an issue with the fee. I see it as an additional tax that, well, you are not, the town is not charging me the bill, they are charging Comcast. And Comcast, being the business, is going to pass that fee on to me regardless.
Yes, they are probably going to do that. And that is within their right to do that. So, I mean, unfortunately, I'm looking at my bill now, and I also pay a broadcast TV fee, and I pay a regional sports fee. Even if I don't watch any sports, I'm still paying that fee to Comcast. So.
As I read the agreement, this is for a rights of way agreement. Is that correct?
This is for a franchise agreement for Comcast to provide cable and use the town's right of way.
Is there any type of similar fee addressed to, say, Verizon or the Delmarva Power to do the same thing?
Not as of right now, because those agreements have been in place for 10 or so years now, but as they come up for renewal, I think it's something that they may be looking at. I don't know that they will enforce that or enact that. It depends on what the agreement calls for, but we have not addressed that at this time.
Okay. I had posted this earlier, and the reason my quote said franchise tax is because I do see it as a tax. While it is documented as a fee, I've heard from about a dozen or more people that aren't against the franchise fee itself. They're not against the franchising authority, just the fee associated with it. So thank you, and I appreciate the time to comment.
Thanks, Steve. Right.
Asha's turn. You're going.
Are there any other public comments on the Comcast franchise fee?
Well, one of them is Ryan Showalter.
And then, Marcia still hasn't gotten to the meeting, so.
Should we just call this to a vote? Close the public hearing?
Motion to close the public hearing, yeah.
Okay, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I don't
know,
should we close the public hearing? 2020-01.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all those in favor of closing the public hearing on ordinance number 2020-09?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next, we'll go ahead and start the regular meeting. We can do the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to
the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have approval of the previous month's minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? And if so, is there a motion to approve the previous month's minutes as they were delivered?
I make a motion that we approve last month's minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have ordinance number 2020-08, amendment to FY 2020-21 general budget. Ordinance 2020-08 was introduced on December 7th, duly advertised, and a public hearing was held earlier tonight. Are there any questions or concerns by the council on ordinance 2020-08? And if there are none, then can we get a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-08, which is the amendment to the FY 2020-21 general budget?
I make a motion to approve Ordinance number 2020-08, the amendment of the fiscal year 2020-21 general budget.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have Ordinance number 2020-09, adoption of the franchise agreement with Comcast Cable of Delmarva to establish a franchise fee. Ordinance 2020-09 was introduced on December 7th, duly advertised, and a public hearing was held earlier tonight. Are there any questions or concerns by the ordinance, by the council on Ordinance 2020-09?
I gotta kind of agree with Steve, like I say, I've got some messages today and I've gotten phone calls, and of the people that I've talked to, there's no problem with the franchise agreement. But whether you call it a tax or a fee, it's still gonna end up in the consumer's pocket, out of their pocket. So I personally cannot support it because of that specific reason.
I'm in agreement with Ed on that.
When would that take effect? If we passed it tonight, is it for starting right away? I can't remember, honestly. Or would it start with the new budget?
It would start right away.
Okay.
So you would most likely see it on your next bill.
Okay.
On the video charges.
Yeah.
Not your entire bill. Which I'm not sure that was probably completely explained to people what it would be, as far as it's not your entire internet or Comcast bill. Like when I look at my bill, it's over $250, but over $50 of that is equipment rental. So the tax with the fee would not be on the equipment rental. It's only on the video portion.
But I look at in my particular place, because that's the one I've got the most knowledge about. I have DirecTV and I've had it for years, but I get Comcast for the local channel, like Salisbury and stuff like that, but you can't get it through DirecTV. You get it's Albury, which can't get local level. And it started out at 15 something a month. Now it's 40. And I've had it maybe 10 years. So it has gradually gone up. Mm-hmm.
Right, and part of that could be, like I said, on my bill, I see where there is a broadcast TV fee, which is your regional stations, that's $16.10. There's a regional sports fee of $9.15. There's a federal universal service fund fee, a regulatory cost recovery fee, then there's a sales tax and a 911 fee that are also rolled into the bills. Does anybody else have any other comments? No.
No. I mean, I, as much as I hate to add anything to the consumer, I think this is, it's a small amount, and it'll generate a nice little amount of money that the town will be able to use for improvements that we won't have to tax the consumers on. This money's coming from Comcast. It's not how Comcast gets it is on them. We're having Comcast pay us this amount. I mean, you know, so they are the ones who are choosing to pass it on to the consumer, not the town. So I see it as a way to generate money without us directly taxing our residents.
How many people do we have on Comcast? Did they tell you?
He did. Let me see if I can find the number.
I was just wondering, I mean, if you took that number and divided it by 34,000 divided it by the number of people, that lets you know what an average person is going to end up paying if Comcast chooses to pass it along to the consumer.
Yeah, I don't. It's not coming up in my email right now.
Hey, Chris. I see that you're online.
Sorry.
Oh, I was trying to unmute you. Oh, there you go. Did you get it? I was trying to unmute you. Hey, Chris, I have a question.
So, yes, I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. I was trying to unmute you, I think, the same time you were trying to unmute. So, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Chris Comer. I'm the local Director of Government Affairs for Comcast on the Eastern Shore and Western Maryland.
So, we have a question. So, I guess the basic question would be, the franchise fee that we're looking to charge Comcast, which you guys would or would not choose to pass on to the consumer, it's on the video portion. Then how does someone find out what their portion of the video is on their bill? Like, I have Comcast Triple Play, so my...
Yeah, so again, if you would look at, looking at your bill, and it would vary month-to-month depending on if you ordered a pay-per-view movie.
Right.
Fall under, under that would be captured, or if you change your services. But basically, it would be 5%, roughly 5% of what you're paying for, or expanded cable service. You know, whether you have the basic service, it's just broadcast channels, or whether you have the expanded with the CNN and ESPNs, what we call the digital starter service. So depending on that level, you would look at that. If you had our DVR service, then that would be captured under this. If you had a cable box that you were renting, then that also would fall under it as well. So anything specific to cable television video would fall under the fee.
So it would also be in my equipment and services.
Yes.
Okay.
But not anything with the internet or cable modem, or if you had a home security system, or if you had our mobile cellular service, all of that would be is regulated differently. So some of the fees you mentioned, like the recovery fee and the 911 fee, that all falls under a separate regulatory requirement.
Right. Okay.
And for what it's worth, I mean, I know it's never hard looking at implementing fees like this. I can tell you the vast majority of the local governments that we work with do have a similar fee.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, you also, so you have the authority to go to 5%. You could reduce that to 3% or whatever if you felt that was necessary. But that 5% is the maximum. And that is generally what municipalities charge.
So if we went with like 2%, then that would give us some extra revenue to maybe help with some IT stuff that needs to be done around here, but it would not tax people the full, or give them a full 5% fee.
Mm-hmm.
So would we need to change the amendment if...
So you would, if that's what you wanted to do, you would just make a motion to approve the franchise agreement with the amendment that the franchise fee be reduced from 5% to 2% or 3%, whatever percentage you wanted.
Right.
And then you could just go ahead and approve it. I can make the change tomorrow and send it to him. You wouldn't have to have another public hearing.
And you're looking at roughly $6,800 per percentage, give or take.
Right.
Which is still more than we have coming in now. But, I mean, I do have Comcast, so I would be one of the people paying that. So, how, Dave, Ed, are you guys for anything or nothing or?
No, I'm for zero.
For zero? And, Dave?
I don't perceive it. 5%, I think maybe 2.5, something like that. I cut it in half, but I wouldn't go to full 5%.
Okay. I mean, I think I'm okay with 2%. I mean, like I said, I'm a Comcast subscriber. I'm going to be paying the fee, so we could use some of the extra money. And if towns are already doing it, we're not charging the full 5%, but that would give us some extra money to use some services around here that are much needed. So we have a motion to do.
So if that's if one of you wanted to make a motion, it would be to approve Ordinance 2020-09, adoption of a franchise agreement with Comcast Cable of Delmarva, and to establish a franchise fee, authorizing the mayor to execute the cable franchise agreement with the understanding that the cable franchise agreement will be executed, as you all have seen it, subject to the one amendment of reducing the 5% franchise fee to 2%.
And the agreements for how long?
10 years.
But we could get rid of that at another point. Right, it just we could change that franchise fee. It just
you can get rid of it. You can't go up.
So, in order to go up, you have the authority to charge the maximum 5%. If you want this to be more flexible, where you could change the 5% over time, you could have in the agreement that the town has the authority to charge the franchise fee upon enacting an ordinance and make it a separate legislative action, so that you have the agreement, and then by another ordinance, you could go up or down on the percentage, if that's something you'd rather do. The thought with the 5% is that it's in the agreement, you enforce it, and then to go lower from there, you could just revise it. Comcast, of course, is going to be in support of that revision because they'll then be paying less.
Right.
If you want to go to the 2%, then with the thought of over the next 10 years you might increase from 2 to 5 or anything greater than 2, then maybe that's the amendment that we make, that you have the authority to establish a franchise fee to a maximum of 5% with the ability to amend the percentage upon introduction and approval of an ordinance or legislation by the mayor and council.
I mean, that seems to me like it's the most flexible
yeah.
of the options to be able to accommodate. I mean, and it, that could also be that it could be that if we get some decent businesses and extra tax rate money in here, that we wouldn't need to have it anyway.
Yeah.
And we could actually get rid of it, assuming we can get other incomes and taxes back up for what we're collecting.
Since Chris is on the line, maybe ask him if that's something that they would be agreeable to. If they're agreeable to doing it that way, then you all can just amend it at this time and go ahead and approve it. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Kim. Yes.
Hey, did you hear what Lindsay just asked?
Yeah, no, we'd certainly be agreeable. It's at the town's discretion.
Okay.
So at any time during the term, if you wanted to increase or decrease the fee, then you all you would have to do is send us a notice and give us, say, 90 days to implement the change.
One more thing while we're talking.
Or say something, you know, upon 90 days notice or something like that.
Okay. Okay, so 90. So I'll change the franchise fee that the town has the authority to impose a franchise fee in an amount equal to a maximum of 5% on annual gross revenue with the authority to, I don't want to say increase, with the authority to revise the amount of the franchise fee upon giving Comcast 90 days notice.
That's
or something like that. Okay. And maybe the franchise section reads, franchisees shall pay to the franchise authority the franchise fee in an amount equal to 2%. And then add a section in there about the ability to amend it upon giving 90 days notice, so that the 2% is already established for you all, but you retain the authority to increase it upon notice.
Okay. No, not a problem. We have that in a handful of agreements, so I'm sure it shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay. But you all are agreeing, not Ed, but potentially
I'm okay
agreeing
with
to the 2%. Okay. Okay. So if you all are in support of the 2% and the ability to revise the franchise fee upon giving 90 days notice, then someone can make a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-09, authorizing the mayor to execute the franchise agreement subject to the revisions that were discussed and agreed upon, and charging the 2% franchise fee.
Okay, so can somebody make that motion?
I will make the motion that we approve Ordinance Number 2020-09, the adoption of the franchise agreement with Comcast Cable of Delmarva, establishing a 2% franchise fee with the revisions as discussed.
Can you have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Hey, can we get Comcast Cares Day this year?
You know, I'm waiting to find out. Except right now they're telling me I may not go back into the office until June.
Oh. Okay. So we might get Comcast Cares Day in the fall.
Yeah. But or some way of virtually doing it. We may have to get creative.
We can get creative for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But I'll definitely keep you posted once I know more.
All right.
I'd like to light up the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, next we have appointment to Parks and Recreation Committee. Town Manager D. Reed. He didn't say he knew her and something else.
I know, right?
He could have used some other term.
Oh, I heard her.
Can I get a motion to approve adding Nancy Downey to the Parks and Recreation Committee?
I'll make a motion. We appoint Nancy Downey to the Parks and Rec Committee.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No, that you know.
Motion passes.
Well, I know about her.
All right, next we have garbage collection services, another riveting topic.
It is. Madam Mayor of the Council, in our continuing effort to find a best solid waste solution for residents, staff is proposing that Council authorize the town to begin discussion with Eastern Shore Environmental for what they've identified as option three. And option three, still needs to be some discussion about this, especially relative to the condition of trash cans. Option three would include residential curbside trash collection. No curbside recycling, but residential trash collection with landfill fees included and the same town trash cans. And a total of $12,975 a month, the expectation of 1,100 collection points. The condition of certain trash cans around town and the number of trash cans and units on facilities becomes a never-ending discussion. So right now it's staff proposing not to include new cans for everyone. That would be an extra $2,000 a month. But to work with the trash cans we have and see their condition with the understanding of what time certain number of those cans are going to need to be replaced. And again, what we do with the town trash truck relative to outsourced service is another item that needs some discussion. So at this point, staff is just recommending to council that council authorize staff to engage with Eastern Shore Environmental for their stated option three as well as the situation of the eventual replacement of trash cans and the condition of the trash truck.
I have a few questions. First of all, every other option tells you how long it's good for. Option three does not say how long that price is good for. Or at least not in your...
5-year contract?
Yeah, he's proposing a 5-year contract. I actually spoke with...
Okay, I mean, because option one says for 3 years, option two says for five, but for option three and four, it doesn't tell us how many years is for.
Right, we've talked about a 4-year contract. Again, that should be one of the discussions.
Then what are we paying in landfill charges now, the town?
Steve?
A rough idea.
Yes, I'm here.
Yep, Steve's here.
85.
How much are we paying in landfill fees?
I believe, I don't know weekly or monthly, I think it's $66,000 a year, maybe.
$66,000
a year.
85 budgeted.
Okay. Budgeted. Yeah, and I think if we're under that a little bit.
I mean, I'm just looking at it because at no point, I don't think, have we actually sat down and looked at the cost of a new truck spread over 7 years and a 2/5 of an employee, so to speak, and actually see what that number is. I would be interested to see that. I mean, the last time we tried to outsource trash, it was a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole reason we went back. If we make a switch, I mean, that's fine if it all seems to come into play, but I would like to see what it actually is. 2/5 of an employee with benefits, I mean, that's 2 days a week with a new truck, figuring that every 7 or 10 years we're buying one. And let's see what that number is, too, just because I lived through, and Dave's back there moaning. I mean, he was here, too. He knows what it was like. I mean, weeks gone by, didn't have trash truck come to pick up, their trash truck broke down, nobody to back up. It was nothing but a problem. I meant, and that's why 20 years ago we went back to doing our own trash. I meant,
we bought 2 trucks since then, or 2.
Right.
You can apply for USDA grant funding for those trucks now, too.
Gotta have a grant writer first.
So, I mean, you know, we have that option. I would like to kind of see that price. I'm not necessarily against this, just sitting here going through it all. I really would like to see what our cost would be to stay in the trash business, because at the end of the day, the service, I think, would be better. But it may be a price that we can't sustain and keep up, but I would like to see what that price is. I'm just, you know, Steve, it shouldn't be that hard to get a rough price on a trash truck. I'm sure Mid-Atlantic would be glad to give us a price. He'll probably be one of the highest ones around. But
does Enterprise do trash?
No.
So, I mean, if we could, that was some of the things I was just looking at. Just so I can compare apple to apples when we're sitting here getting ready to vote on this. So
Steve, we pick up trash 2 days a week. There's one day for town trash.
Residential. Most of the residential is done on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we pick up the apartment complexes.
And I'm not 100%, Steve, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm not 100% sure we should be doing commercial anyway, which an apartment complex is. And businesses on Main Street, I'm not sure how we ever got into that aspect of it.
They've always done that.
But I mean, it may be.
Well, they've always done some, and some they don't. Like, we don't do Federal Manor, and we don't do University Apartments, but we do Laurel Grove, Fettlesburg Gardens, Interfaith. There's one more. Oh, Fairhaven. So, you know, we do some, but not all. Believe me, I would not argue if you said we're not going to pick those up anymore. Because those are the really hard ones because of the big cans and the large volume.
I feel like we need to be consistent with the apartments.
You know, it's just because I don't know that they were picking them up when I started here 25 years ago. So, you know, believe me, if we didn't pick those up, it would not hurt my feelings at all.
One of them recently turn it in?
Well, they did, but now they've got it back.
Oh. Okay.
No, unfortunately.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, because we had already stopped picking them up.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they decided they wanted it back.
Because we must have been cheaper than another picker-upper.
Well, they were paying anyway.
Right.
I mean, maybe council let them out of it. But that's the thing, is that, you know, the council would have to say, you know, we're not picking your trash up anymore. So, in order to do that, you know, you would no longer collect fees from them for trash. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge chunk of money that you're not going to get. So if you purchase a truck and you're in the garbage business, and you say we're not picking up the apartment complexes anymore, you know, you're kind of cutting off a third of your income for that,
But you're also cutting off one-fifth of an employee you wouldn't need.
Either way, but if you had a contractor, you know, you basically cut off and pay him because he's picking up less. So, you know, he's got less customers to pick up for you, so his fee's going to be less. Where if we buy a truck and then 2 years down the road, we say we're not going to pick up the apartment complexes anymore, we still got to pay for that truck.
Right, and that would, but that would also, if most of the trash comes from them in the large volume, that could be a good chunk of what the landfill costs are.
Oh yeah, it is, because we are about 10 to 11 ton of the residential on Tuesday, and then we are about the same from. The one when we go to the landfill on Wednesday from the apartments.
That's
so
amazing.
We're hauling about 20 ton, 20 to 22 a week. And we go to the dump once on Tuesday and once on Wednesday.
Okay, so maybe we also need to look at each of the apartments, what we're paying in tonnage versus what they're paying versus them getting a commercial service.
But it might be lost.
Or a dumpster.
It might be lost revenue, but it's going to be less expense.
Right. Mm-hmm. We can factor that in with the employees, the cost of the employees that are tied up one trash day. And then, Steve, the stuff along the bike path, you guys pick that up. You just pull the trash bag out and put it in the gator, right?
Yes, yes.
Except for the cans at the marina. You pick those up with the trash cans, right? With the trash truck?
No, we do. They have bags in them, too.
Okay.
None of that would change whether we have a truck or not.
Right.
Because we do have a dumpster at the yard that we would put those bags in. When we picked them up, if we didn't have, or we have cans down there that, you know, when he came through on Tuesday to pick up the trash, he would just stop at the barn and pick that trash up too.
Right. What was your other question?
My other question is the extra trash. Like right now, we do refrigerators or whatever for people. Are they doing that, or will we still have to do that?
We will still be doing that.
They will do the. What about the yard waste? Tree branches and all that. I see that's in here. Where they? Are we looking at still doing that, or having them doing that, or?
Probably worthwhile for discussion, but. My expectation is the town will still be doing that.
So we'll still be doing all the extra trash tonight. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Okay, so do you want to try to work out some numbers? Have Larry and Steve work out numbers so we get a little better idea of what we're spending where and what our cost would be broken out?
I mean, I'll be curious to see the cost of a new truck and where it all boiled down to and how much more it would be just to satisfy my thoughts
new
on
truck
that.
New truck is about $150. Yeah. We paid $130 for the one we had now 6 years ago or 7 years ago.
So break that down to a 5-year loan? 4-year?
I didn't deal with the loan, but I'm assuming, you know, it was 5 years. I can't think that, I mean, they wouldn't go any longer on a vehicle, nothing. I think they went 7 years on the sweeper, but that was 15 years ago.
Right.
But I don't think that, you know, recently we haven't done a whole lot of automotive loans.
Sure not out on the street.
So... So 150. Okay.
Over 4 years, you're looking at around $3,000 a month. Without interest.
Right, right.
But you said USDA might help out.
They do offer, so like the police vehicle, like the chief did, you can apply for public works vehicles. I think the maximum they'll give is $50,000, but it's still a grant.
That's a third of the cost.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and collect more information.
Yeah,
well, we'll work on getting analysis. The numbers broken out, the new trash trucks versus farming it out versus staff versus the other options that we have.
Because I might be here more, too.
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, that's, you know, we should all, you know, all the dollar numbers we should have.
Right. I mean, really, most of it should all be in there. Honestly, I probably could look at most of it off the budget and pulled them, but I was sitting yesterday and all this stuff started coming to mind and I didn't have time to pull it all out before tonight, so.
I'll just remind council, the previous budgets have grossly underestimated annual repair costs.
Mm-hmm.
We budgeted 9 and we spent 15, 18 points. This year we budgeted 20, we've already spent 19,000.
And what, that's how was that truck?
7 years?
Too old.
Well, I mean, that's kind of my point. If I'm looking at if we're going to do it.
20 grand repairs every year.
Right. For that price, we're almost better buying a new one every 4 years or 5 years, however long the term is. Sell it for what you get for it. Put it down for the new one and move on and keep doing it.
But get rid of this one, not keep the new one. Not keep this one as a backup happened before, because then the back one is just now it's a.
The last
but,
two.
Yeah,
but
so.
Is it a vehicle or is it an arm? Seems like I always hear about the arm.
It's a little bit of everything.
The hydraulic, yeah, I think it's the mostly, I think the hydraulic, right, Steve, the hydraulic arm tends to be our biggest culprit.
Correct. And that's the part that wears. It's, you know, most of the time it's not the truck. You know, with our original thought, however long ago when we bought the newest truck, was to keep the old one for a backup. But because it doesn't get used,
right,
it's really not good for the truck or the arm. So that's not in the plan. Even if we stay in the trash business, we're not going to have two trucks. We can't afford to keep them for one. Two, you know, we don't really have the manpower to run both of them anyway.
Can we turn that old one into a leaf sucker?
Well, we did, you did mention that, and I'm not sure that we can do it, but I'm not sure we can't do it either.
I might have to Google that. I really want a leaf sucker. So I'll have to keep begging Denton.
We might have to rig something up.
We could. We'll have to figure that out. I'm sure there's something on YouTube we can watch about turning that into a leaf sucker.
With our contest fees.
Cut all the way back and buy them. You know, one you pull behind it.
That's right.
Just blow it right into it.
That's right. Okay, so the motion is on the table is to take this information from Town Manager DeRee and to start looking at other pricing to see what our best option is going to be.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. So we'll work on some of that data collection. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bob's actually on, so can you put that to
him? Oh, yeah, okay. The Aquacon traffic study? Okay, so next we have the Aquacon traffic study. So, Bob, are you still with us?
I am, yes.
Would you like to take this one?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you have in front of you, except that we have ordered a traffic study to make sure that we don't have any issues with having access on the state road, and the traffic consultants typically have communications with the town regarding issues on traffic. So this is really just a request that the town talk to and cooperate with the traffic study folks.
It's also, so it's from the traffic group, directed to the town manager. And basically the letter says that generally when they do a traffic study, they the industry standard that they use is the Institute of Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual. But because this site represents a unique land use that's not adequately documented within the manual, their approach is to do a study based on the amount of employees that are going there per day, which is a total of 120 employees working the day shift, 20 working the evening shift, and 10 working the night shift. So I think Larry had a chance to look at the manual, and the manual was not on point with this proposed use. And
The traffic engineer study I'm trying to find is that, I believe it's the fourth paragraph on page one, where it talks about methodology and lays out what they use from the ITD, like manufacturing and what have you. And the standard isn't exactly what's going on at this plant, because a 25-acre plant isn't 25 acres of assembly line or forklift operators. It's where there are no people, and as a result, there's no staff generating. Bob, correct me. There's no staff generating trips there because there aren't people active in every 1,000 square feet, which is the standard that's used for industrial. And the ITE standard on their table is 0.19 trips for every 1,000 square feet of area. So you're talking about, five trips for every 5,000 square feet. One trip for every 5,000 square feet of area space. Well, this is 25 acres of area space. You do the math on that, this is an astronomical number of daily trips generated by 120 employees. So there's no reason to use that standard when there's so much space that has nothing to do with the occupancy of staff. Whereas the 120 employees is much more of a reasonable standard. And I believe that's laid out in the engineering report.
Yeah, so basically the firm is asking for you all to approve the scope of work and study methodology, which is using the amount of employees and truck traffic. And they also want to know if there are any approved developments in the area to include in the traffic study. I don't think that there are. Mm-mm. So.
And the importance of having the town concur with this is that traffic always comes up in the the different hearings that come up, and it'll be important that the town is supportive of the methods and means to estimate those that traffic counts. And it's a relatively speaking, it's a low impact, 15 trucks a week, and the employees are on shifts, and all the traffic's going to go through the existing commercial access points.
I mean,
shouldn't be a big problem, but we want to make sure that the town is in concurrence with the methods of supporting that position.
I mean, if the method they're using is taking the employee count versus the acreage count, then, I mean, I'm fine with that. I mean, it's like...
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, correct. You have 120 people, that's probably approximately what's going to be coming and going in and out of there during the day, and then the evening shift... Do you know, are they working 24/7? Or they're a three shift, right?
Mm-hmm. There will be probably a heavier shift during the regular working hours, but there will be staff on board 24/7.
Yeah, but either way, for whatever parking they end up developing, you're still only in need of really the maximum of 100, and the number of employees that are there.
I think we have something like 50 employees in the evening shift and 15 to 20 in the overnight shift, if I remember correctly.
So do we need a motion for this?
Yeah, so I would just make a motion to accept the proposed scope of work and study methodology by the traffic group.
So can I have a motion to approve the recommended... the scope of work and recommended methodology mm-hmm. by the traffic group for the Aquacon traffic study.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the Reliance Road sewer line extension. Lindsay?
Yep, so this was proposed a few months ago, and you all raised some questions. We didn't have the supporting documentation at the last meeting, so we tabled it again, and since then, Bob has provided some documentation, and I don't know if, Bob, you want to give an overview?
Well, it was first proposed to the town, the alternative to having municipal water where you can meter the flows was to just simply agree on an equitable amount based on the number of lots. And it was prorated based on a regular vacancy of about 80%, which was what he has historically shown in the park. And so the whole effort was to come to just simply a mutual agreement on an equitable charge, short of having some sort of metering system that is not really very practical with raw sewage and is an obligation that the town would have to add to its efforts in covering meters and confirming flows. So what we did was came up with an approach where we are proposing a flow rate based on historical records. The request was made to provide that data and that basis, and I gave the town a report that was based on three different mobile home parks that we've been working with. One of them has wells and a wastewater treatment plant. One of them has an active water treatment plant on permits, with a permitted water treatment discharge. And then we have the years of water plant records from the Reliance Park. The Reliance water meter records are low, under 100 gallons a day. It doesn't take into account infiltration and inflow, which we were able to review and calibrate and record in another mobile home park that had both water and sewer. And those flows were 110 and less. And then we had water plant information on a park in down near Ocean City. And they had some infiltration, and that was well under 110. So for the purposes of the agreement, for the sake of this discussion, we ran the calculations and proposed an equivalent of 30 units, which was 80% occupancy of a calculated 75 units, and a town flow of 2.25. The math didn't come out exactly to 30 units. So in a discussion today, we reviewed the report, which is well under 100 gallons, and would still propose that we stay at the 30 units. Ryan, I think you've talked to Lindsay about some language that might be added to the agreement.
Yes, I think, you know, that our interest is in reaching an agreement, and what Lindsay pointed out is that the current text was based on that historic 80% occupancy rate, and there was a comment, I guess, by GMB as to whether that is reasonable or likely for the future, and so the concept was that we might use that for purposes of allocating capacity and dealing with the capacity charges, but provide for an annual or biannual evaluation of the occupancy or vacancy rate, if you will. And if the park is occupied greater than the 80% rate that's used, then we could have an adjustment for the user fee billing on an ongoing basis. And we're perfectly fine with that.
to hopefully have addressed all the previous concerns, and that this method would clarify the remaining comments, and that we could still get the consensus and support of the council tonight, subject to whatever additional language, if it hadn't been added, as Ryan just described, could be added, and then the mayor could be authorized to sign.
The other thing that Lindsay and I discussed was a question about enforcement and the town's remedies in the event that user fees are late, and we're certainly amenable to having more specific language in there with the penalty interest rate for collections if fees are unpaid. But they could be enforced under the Maryland Contract Lien Act properly. And so the town certainly would have a remedy in the event that there's late payment or other fees. So that provision is not in the agreement, but it's certainly something that I think is reasonable, and that if the town is inclined to approve it with that modification, Lindsay and I prefer to incorporate that before it's signed. Our goal is really to understand whether or not we have an agreement, because if we do, we want to move quickly to begin discussions with MDE about potential funding and advancing the project. And we can't do that without knowing whether this is something that the town really supports and will move forward.
Okay, so
are there other questions or open issues that we should address?
I'm looking.
Okay.
So, do we need to have a closed session on this kind of discussion? Or if we need anything? I'm not sure, but I think it's kind of people feel a bit.
So are you guys comfortable with the information that's presented, or do you want to have a closed session for legal advice regarding all of the aspects of this matter?
Well, my biggest question would be, what does it open the town up to?
That's my concern.
Because we have, I'm guessing, along that route, we will have roughly 50 houses between Fettlesburg and Reliance. Counting Meadowbrook, I would say.
I know
50.
There's some people in Meadowbrook that would like to hook in.
Especially on the Caroline County side, what's that going to do? Is Caroline County, as soon as they start having failing systems out there, see that we ran it all the way to Reliance and force us to, will it open us up to that being an issue? Can they then force us to take it because we've opened the door for somebody already?
So, first you have the documented health and safety concern and whether you feel that they've met that burden or threshold or not. And then second, you have the agreement. So anyone else that wanted to connect to the town system, you would first require that they show a similar or more substantial health safety concern, and second, that they're willing to enter into an agreement with substantially similar terms. Whether other developments would want to do so or not, I don't know.
So there's 8 mobile homes out of the 58. Well, technically there's 80 properties there? There's 80 septics that are there? 58 are currently being used?
There's 75 properties. There are, let's see.
It says there are 8
mobile
homes
out
of 58
with failing septic.
Right, and but each septic services 2 homes, so it's 4 failing septics.
Okay,
right. Is that correct?
Yeah, the information provided is evidence of the systems failing now and continuing to fail. The health department has been encouraging the park owner to find a solution. solution to eliminate all the septic systems because they are all either failing or marginal and expected to fail, which is why the health department has encouraged a solution to either build his own wastewater treatment plant or find a municipal system that they can connect to. So what you have is not that those are the only ones failing. That was a specific report at a given time to confirm evidence that their systems are failing. And I did want to comment, and Ryan, I'm probably not the right one to hit. Maybe it's more of a question, but your ordinance already provides for your right to extend service outside the town limits. I don't think it establishes any obligation to extend services out of town. So I don't think that this action establishes a precedent that creates an obligation for connections. It simply is a situation that somebody has the right to ask. And this line, it will have restricted access to it. And I don't think there's any obligation. But again, I'm not the attorney, so I'm talking, probably shouldn't, but I don't think it creates any obligations to the town.
I agree with that. I mean, I'll let Lindsay provide advice, but the water and sewer plan amendments in both counties would specify that this is a denied access line intended only to address Reliance. And another avenue certainly is that this agreement could provide that no other properties, it's already a denied access line. You could also require that anyone who connected in the future compensate for the construction of the line if you wanted to create an added disincentive, if you will. The town has the ability to say no, but they wanted to have an additional reason why somebody wouldn't even want to seek it. You could require that anybody who used it that you determined might make sense in the future would have to pay their fair share of the line, which would be more fair to our client and create even greater level of disinterest on anybody else's part. It's not as simple as tapping into a line. They'd have to amend the water and sewer plan. They'd have to convince you it was in the town's interest and that there was need, and then bear whatever their share of the expense might be.
And this whole proposal to the town is its inspiration is that it will generate users and user fees for the town, and that it also will help to solve an existing environmental issue with failing septic systems.
Challenges. We have no real way to everything. The pricing is, the amount of gallons is all an estimate, right?
It is. It's based on historic records. The alternative is to come up with a metering system, which if the town is not agreeable to this negotiated fee, then we could go back and create some sort of metering system. It's difficult with raw sewage, but the owner said, if they weren't agreeable to this, then we would look into some method of providing metering. Since the town doesn't provide water to the community, it makes it a little bit of a challenge, but not undoable. This was just an attempt to find a mutual agreement on some. Times that's going to be much higher than the person should be paying, and there could be times that it might get a little low. So the interest was to establish a basis for what would consider to be a fair average, and it won't be absolute on any given day.
So are they currently having their septics pumped out now?
Some are being pumped. Yes. But they have a groundwater discharge permit for septics, and they're facing circumstances for violations of that, as well as encouragement from the... It was actually health department's suggestion that perhaps an extension to a municipality was the best option. Their alternative is to build their own wastewater treatment plant and find a method of disposal, which they'd rather not do.
They would rather not do that because of the cost? They just want it to be where it comes into somebody else's?
Well, they're not really in the position to be in the wastewater business. Most users would rather go to a municipal system where they have an established facility and operating procedures. It's all a matter of scale.
Right.
We have done some smaller systems, and it's always a challenge for the operations and maintenance on that small scale. So the first look is always to look toward a municipal system. And again, my interest in pushing this was that I thought it was a fairly straightforward means of generating revenue for the town. I think if there's no incentives for the town to do it, then there's no reason for the town to do it. But I think that the we've been operating the wastewater treatment plant under capacity, and there's always a stress and strain. So I thought this was a good opportunity to generate some revenue.
Okay, thank you.
Kim, what kind of revenue are we talking? Have we seen dollar figures for this anywhere?
No, so it's the connection fees for, let's see, get a calculator.
75 times 2,500.
Is it 20?
That'll be
2,500.
Yeah, so we revised it so that they had to pay the connection fees for the amount of
lots.
Yes. So
if somebody decided to fill that one lot, they've already paid and hooked in.
Let's see.
That's about $187,000 for
the
connection fees.
Yeah. A one-time capital or connection charge at the town's sewer connection rate for each of the 75 dwelling units. And that is upon final approval of all permits and authorizations prior to construction. So you get the 187.5, and then the town rate for however many ADUs you determine it is.
Really, the real negotiation here is to agree that a mobile home park use is less than a standard single family lot in town.
So your applicable EDU right now, one EDU is 205 gallons per day. And they're proposing that instead of using the 205, it's 110 gallons per day because it's a less intensive use. And the historical average wastewater flows based on the studies that Bob gave you support the 110. And because we can't meter it, that's what they're saying is the reasonable number and not the 205. Now,
we use the 205. Well, I mean, that goes towards paying a full connection fee for every lot. We initially proposed to reduce the connection fees prorated as well. I believe the decisions and discussions were that the town's policy was to require a connection fee for every home unit. So that's not being negotiated. It's simply acknowledging that a mobile home does not use 205 gallons and that it's typically under 100. And we have the historical records of that. So again, this is just, if they were physically connected, their flows would be more closely to what we're predicting here.
So is is that basically that assumption is because there's generally one or one and a half or two bathrooms in these mobile homes?
Yeah. But seems to be. You know, the occupant sees later, they don't typically support larger families in the mobile homes. And the usages are just historically less.
I would disagree with that.
I've seen somewhere there's, 10 people living in a mobile home, so.
And also, most of the homes in this town are very old. I mean, there's very few people who have more than two toilets in their house, in Federalsburg, probably. I mean, they're not newer homes. You don't have multiple bathrooms and...
Now, I assume the town had established that flow rate based on your historic records for the town.
Right. My point is that we're probably on par with a lot of trailers as far as, facilities.
Some of the size of the houses and the amount of bathrooms that they have in them.
Right.
Yeah, we have good flow data going into the treatment plant for your existing users, which seems to be somewhat consistent with your estimates. Well, I'm not sure that that's actually the case, but from a full town perspective, I'm sure there are individuals that use less, but they're paying their sewer rate though based on their water usage. You're getting paid for whatever they use based on their water usage. We don't have water meters established to provide that, because you don't typically pay for how much sewage they use, you pay for how much water they use. So we're estimating what their consumption would typically be.
Christy,
sorry.
How many trailers are in Tillman Trailer Park?
Approximately 48.
So can't we look at that data from 48 trailers,
yes,
double it, and get to the same size there and figure out what the standard flow should be?
Mm-hmm. I would think so, yeah.
I mean, that's something that we have. What about Passwater's Trailer Park? Is it in our system?
It's not in our system.
It's not. I wasn't sure. But, I mean, that would give us real-time in the town of Federalsburg data that we can look at to see water flow and what we're being billed for 48 trailers. My other problem, Bob, is the fact that here's a businessman that has how many lots out there right now?
75.
It's 75 total lots. Then I think he should pay for... We shouldn't be figuring 80% because that's his past success rate of renting the trailers. That's a man who, if all things go right, he wants to have 75 units rented. Why should we give him a discount because he's not being able to rent it? I mean, his goal is to rent 75, so we should
be
paid for it all.
It's not actually a discount. It's just a method that was used to try to equate to the actual water use that comes out of that park.
Okay, that's all fine and good, but say we do this deal, and a month from now he moves five more people in than has a full capacity. We have no way of knowing that. So then the town's taking a hit for what we're treating compared to what we made an agreement for. I mean, I personally think if we do a deal, it needs to be for 100% capacity, because that's his goal, is to have 100% capacity. He's not shooting for 80%, he's going to be happy. He wanted to make it bigger to start with, but our ordinance won't allow that, correct? Isn't that what...
I suspect as a businessman, he would like to have more units.
Well, right, I mean...
Again, this is, we're not talking about maximums, we're talking about estimating actual water usage, which is what would be the basis of your payment. So I suspect that if the concerns are that you're afraid of the upside, because he's also going to be paying more than he's actually using a good part of the time as well, perhaps we should probably look at a metered system some fashion, so they're paying for just actually what they use instead of trying to agree on a mutual number.
Well, and part of I'm looking long term, and I mean, maybe I'm looking too far out, Bob, but if we guarantee him X amount and somebody wants to come and build a 100-acre plot somewhere.
That's what Scott just suggested. Tell the journal part.
Somebody wants to take 100 acres and build a development somewhere. We've got that X amount we have to save for him, whether he's using it or not. That's why I think we need to build for the 100%. Because we have to save that for him once we do this deal. We have to have enough room for him, so that limits our future growth that's actually in the town of Fellowsburg and we can get taxes for. Is that not correct?
No, there's no question. It's a bird in the hand or not. And I appreciate and support whatever position the council takes. But I say, without metering, this was an effort to come to an equitable number relating to actual water usage, not maximums, because nobody in town is paying what their maximum would be. They're only paying for what water use they have.
Right.
So you've got a basic 205 gallons per unit for planning purposes, but I'm sure you've got many houses in town that are using much less water than that and therefore paying less. So I'm not sure how that all relates. You've got to reserve that capacity for a bigger family to move into an individual house, I guess, but they're actually only paying for what they use in water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is, what they're looking to do, not for reserve capacity so much as just their actual sewer use rate is what we're negotiating and talking about.
Well, my suggestion...
They're willing to pay their capital fee to reserve the full 100%.
Right.
There's no discounting there.
What we're talking
about is trying to equate what their actual water use might be.
And I'm not trying to, mess with anybody or ram something down anybody's throat. What I suggest is we look at the trailer park we have in town that's on the town system. Give us a little bit of time to look at those numbers and how much they're using and compare it to the numbers that you're saying you think this is going to use, because that would give us a real life instance that the town has right now. And then I think we'll have...
What's the town have? On the phone there, I think. For your mobile home parks in town. I probably could have included that for a second.
You mean the monthly?
Yeah, Tillman, we would look at the numbers from the 48 properties at Tillman Trailer Park to see what their wastewater usage and what their usage is for their quarterly bills.
In the past, we've used our usage was always 150 until recently, when the county upped the CEU.
How do they account for their water use?
Well, they each have meters.
So we've got 48 meters that we can check.
Yes.
Because that's what we're trying to equate to this.
Yes. Right, and that's what I'm saying. Let's take a pause. Let's look at the real data we have in the town limits of Fellowsburg, and then we'll meet again and go over it again.
Can we also check residential, the number of people that live in each house, though? Can you gauge that off of... Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, because two people versus eight people is...
I have to admit, I don't think I had in-town meter data for mobile homes. I just had data for... three sites that we've worked with.
Right.
But I would absolutely agree that if you have in-town metered water data for mobile homes, that would be a valid number to look at. And I think that if we can do that, I don't want to wait a long time. We can get that data and put that together very quickly if I can get it from Christy or whoever has that data.
Well, I tell you what my concern is. If we agree to this, I understand that we've opened Pandora's box that we can never shut the lid on. As far as like, if Passwaters Trailer Park wanted to get involved, we couldn't deny them. If Toby Russell's Trailer Park wanted to do it, we could not deny them. We've got Aquacon coming. And, you know, we are not 100% sure how much all this would taxi our existing. And it would be the residents, 80% we'd have to upgrade. And it would be up to the people who live in this town, basically, to pay for it.
So it's not an automatic extension outside of town limits. So by approving this based on a health safety concern with a restrictive agreement, you're not automatically becoming a public service commission or a public service where you have to provide a utility to anyone requesting it.
Right.
Does it make you more vulnerable if another development comes and says, we have the same exact health concern and we're willing to enter into the same exact terms as they did with plenty of available capacity and basically the same conditions? It might open you up a little bit, but it doesn't take away your authority to deny or require the exact terms that they would enter into. So you would want to make sure that you do have the agreement like this one that is restrictive, and that there is that documented health concern, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not an automatic opening of the door, but it will make it a little more difficult down the road if you don't have specific terms or the documented health concern.
So my daughter lives in Meadowbrook, so if she wanted to tap into it, she could or could not?
No.
Okay.
It's not an automatic. I mean, if she came to you all and said, I have septic on my property and I can't afford a mound system and there's bay restoration funds available and that's the only way I can afford to connect to this line, and I'm willing to enter into an agreement with the town that I'll be responsible for the line and maintenance and X, Y, and Z similar to this agreement, it would be more difficult for you to say, no, I still think you have that authority. There might be some discretion there.
So is it possible for me to talk to you tomorrow and see if we can get some actual meter data?
Yes.
From the other park, and we can put those numbers together, because I do want to assure you that this is no huge bargain for this park owner. As you might imagine, 5 miles of force main is not an inexpensive effort. So he's going to make a significant commitment. We're only interested in this being something that is beneficial to the town and a preferred alternative for him.
And is he responsible for all maintenance and service on that line until it hits Fettlesburg's town line?
Yes.
So if there's an issue outside of town, who has to go repair that? Or a clog,
either the town does, or if they prefer, have a third party do it. But he's responsible for the cost.
Either Steve, someone in the public works department, could go, or Steve could hire a plumber or whomever else that could fix the leak or whatever it is, and then charge that maintenance to the property owner, but the town would pay the initial and then invoice.
So the town would have to pay it, and then we would collect the money back from the property owner.
Yeah, so if there's an MDE fine, the town is on the hook for the fine and then seeks the repayment from the property owner.
But we would get tagged with the fine, though.
Yeah.
We would be stated as the
yes.
municipality on record as having the fine for MDE.
Yes.
You're talking about a force main break?
Yes.
Is that the kind of circumstance you're talking about?
Yes.
I mean, I suppose that is a scenario that could happen. Unlikely on a new force main, but
what's new for now?
It won't be. Unfortunately, it won't be new
in 10
forever.
10 years, it won't be new.
Oh no, I know. I'm saying that it's not something that happens every month.
So we're going to need a pumping
station. It could happen.
Yes, so there will be a pumping station on the property, and they will own the pumping station.
Okay, so you're going to get with Steve and Christy to get the numbers that comes out of Tillman Trailer Bar?
Lift stations.
Yeah, now, if those numbers are lower than what we predicted, are you willing to go to that level?
No.
No. No.
I don't know.
Not if we have to front money for breakage. I don't know. We might have to put money in reserves.
Like that. There should be a percentage on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, if we got to pay a fine, if we got to borrow money on, somebody's paying the interest, you know?
We'll pull those meter records and see how they compare to what we found at the other parts.
Okay. That sounds good.
You know, we got five residents now that live out of town that are on the town sewer.
I will say that it sounds like there's
But they all signed agreements to be annexed in when we decide to annex.
There's some interest in finding some certainty on not necessarily an if, but a when, or a when, not an if. And if it's still an if when we get back together on it, rather have you say that now so he can pursue other options.
Right, well, we can have you guys can get the numbers, then we have a meeting in 2 weeks. We can give you a final decision in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Will that work?
I just want and believe me, I have both hats wearing here, and I want what's best for the town. So whatever you want to do is fine, and we'll make it work either way.
And we just have a lot of concerns, and nobody has a crystal ball. There's just a lot of concerns. Something that's it's out of our control, pretty much 4.5 miles out of our control.
Yep.
So. Okay.
Generally, the flows that we're talking about aren't huge flows relative to the available capacity in the plant. So I'll talk to Steve and we can weigh that risk as well.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Where were we? Okay, next. Deed of appointment of substitute trustee, Trenton Pipe and Nipple, business loan release.
Yes. So Trenton Pipe has repaid all of their loan, right? Mm-hmm. So they had a loan from the town of Federalsburg in the amount of $100,000. At the time it was taken out, Federalsburg appointed a substitute trustee to handle the deed and indemnity deed of trust, and Trenton Pipe has now requested that we release the deed of trust because they've paid off the loan. So I prepared the documents, and then I realized that we couldn't release it because the substitute trustee was the town's former counsel, Sharon Van Amberg and Patrick Fitzgerald, probably of 10 or more years ago. So, in order to allow the town to release it, you all have to approve a deed of appointment of substitute trustee appointing me in replace of Sharon and Patrick, and then authorize me to execute the release of indemnity deed of trust, releasing Trenton Pipe from the $100,000 deed of trust, which they have repaid.
Okay, so the first motion you need is to make you a substitute trustee.
Yes.
Okay, and then the second motion would be for us to release the deed.
To authorize me to release the deed.
Okay. So can I get a motion to make Lindsay a substitute trustee on the deed of appointment for Trenton Pipe small business loan?
I make
a
motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, I need a motion for releasing of the indemnity of the deed of trust and for the deed of trust for a Trenton Pipe small business loan release.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. We'll sign those. Thank you.
Yes.
Next is change in terms of agreement.
Yeah, so Provident State Bank, we have a note with them for the solar project. The original terms that they had provided the town that you all approved were for a revolving line with a 60-month payout after the maturity date. Somehow, when they did their note and the paperwork, it was processed as a drawdown line. So Christy took funds out and was not able to repay them and retake them out. So they have given the town a change in terms to change it from a drawdown line to a revolving line. It does change the maturity date to 12 months from execution, which will be 6/25/2021. I've spoken to Christy, and we do think that the project will be closed out, and we will have the full reimbursement from MDE in time to pay that amount. However, Providence State has advised that because it was originally supposed to be a revolving line of credit, on the maturity date of 6/25/2021, they will enter into another change in terms whereby the town will be able to pay back the remaining balance over 60 months. So that should give some flexibility. So it is just to authorize the mayor to execute the change in terms.
Could you repeat that?
Yes. Which part? Which part?
The part about MDE paying off one time. That's the part I would like the guarantee on.
Yeah, so we have a progress meeting tomorrow?
Wednesday.
And at that time, we should get the projected. I think the only thing holding the project up right now is still the Delmarva interconnect agreement. Everything else is looking like a closeout. When do you think? April?
Got your crystal ball over there? Let me check the magic eight ball. Okay, so you need the motion. You need a motion to allow me to
authorize
the change in terms of agreement for our Providence State Bank loan that we have for the.
Yes.
Can somebody make that motion?
I make a motion that we authorize Mayor Abner to sign the change in terms agreement with Providence State Bank.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes.
Oh, speaking of loans, this might be out of order. The winery, we had suspended payments a while back where they had requested.
No, he asked, and we didn't.
We didn't do
it. No, he asked because he didn't want to suspend payments. He wanted to take Mark Eamon off of the deed.
But
the security
was tied to him and that equipment. So we that was their only way to get any money back. Next is discussion on change of date of the mayor and council January and February workshops to January 19th and February 16th due to the Martin Luther King holiday and President's holidays. Can I get a motion to change both the January workshop and February workshop to January 19th and February 16th?
Before that, just putting it out there, that January 19th is the ESAM legislative meeting. So that's at 6 p.m., I think, on the 19th right now.
Are they actually having one?
Sorry, virtual.
Zoom died.
Yeah.
I heard it doing stuff. I just figured everyone left.
Oh, no, it's because the battery died.
So that's, I mean, I don't know if anyone had planned to go to that since it's virtual this year and not at Fisherman's or wherever they.
I think Scott was going to go to that. Yeah.
You think it was the. That's what we have a mayor for, to go and report back to us.
I went last year.
You went last year? But you were sick.
You ate at the bar.
Yeah, I ate at the bar.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
And you won that. You won a door prize.
Eating.
And everything.
Yeah. I had liquid dinner.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Hey, I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. But
well, since it was a virtual one.
Yeah.
If I can get back on here on this one. Okay. I should have put
plug that in. Y'all talk to you more.
Well, yeah, it is going on 10 hours.
I know. I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did.
They're back paying the whole payment. They only did it for a short time.
Okay. Yeah, I asked that question a while back, too.
What's that?
About them across the street.
Yeah. I forgot we had 2-1.
Yeah. They're making
money. Oh, my.
No, that's not good. Result in a loss of battery power. Yes, I know.
Were there people still on there?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there were. Yeah, Steve Bollinger's still in there. Are you there? I know. Well, he still has his, huh? He's muted, but... I should be able to pick up the rest of that. I turned the microphone is on now, so. Sorry, we got disconnected. My laptop lost power. Okay. So do we need to worry about that date or?
Well, I mean, I don't know if no one's planning to attend. It's not a conflict. But they haven't really gotten an agenda out. I mean, you're... I would have just sent out a reminder of, like, a save the date.
I mean, I don't know what they normally... Last year they had somebody speak.
Yeah, I can't imagine that...
I mean, virtually.
Yeah, how much is going to get done virtually, quite honestly.
I have a conflict on the 19th.
Oh, because that's normally...
It's a track planning commission meeting.
Oh, okay.
I don't have anything the 20th.
Is that a Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can do January 20th. Does January 20th work for everybody?
No.
I have a board meeting that night, but, I mean, you would still have a majority.
What time is your trap meeting? Well, it's for the workshop, so ooh, that's the January one.
Just the one you just told them.
I know.
That
yeah,
we would have
thinking.
An answer for me.
It's at 7, so if you want to meet at 5 on the 19th.
Yours is at 7? You could participate via Zoom, though.
Yeah.
Right, you could join us. So if we did it at 6, you could participate it. And
yeah,
then just cut out for your trap meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. So we'll keep it on the 19th.
Okay.
Okay. So the motion is to change the January and February workshops from that Mondays because of the holiday to January 19th and February 16th. If that works for everybody, then can I get that motion?
I make a motion that we move our workshop meetings in January and February to the third Tuesday of each month, which would be the 19th of January and the 16th of February.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing.
Councilman Sewell?
Nothing as well.
Councilman Marine?
He's like, let me whip out my list.
I know. I see him looking at his phone.
We've just approved tonight to increase or make it a percentage for this Comcast and everything. If we've got to go out and do this kind of work, why can't we get grants? I mean, we hired him.
I'm happy to pursue grants. It's just, what are we pursuing a grant for?
Well, man, you got a hill up here that needs something done to it.
We got a lot of damn hills.
I mean, we can't be sitting on our duff and not having grants. We used to be able to get some grants. We're not getting nothing now to run this town. And it's a doing thing. We have to pay Bob Rowell to pay Happy to do grant writing for the town of Fellsburg.
I believe we've had 11 ongoing grant projects.
none of which are close to completion.
No, we had sat and talked to that one day. There's quite a lot of grants that's in the works.
Right. We've got a $60,000 unbudgeted expenditure on the interconnection for the solar project. That was not budgeted, nor was it presented at the time of the grant.
That's right. You're exactly right there, too.
So, you know.
And that shouldn't come out of our pocket.
Well, we shouldn't get grants, but we need to get grants the right way. So I'm happy to pursue grants. I'm happy to take direction to pursue grants. But when we've got things that we don't even budget operations, we're not doing full cost accounting on the grant side.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we've done to get a grant, but not to keep whatever it was that was funded operational. And we need to start thinking in terms of full cost accounting, not just let's go out and get a grant because we got something to break about to get a grant. I'm happy we've got a grant. Seriously. It's been terrific. But we're seeing more costs incurred that we hadn't budgeted for that have to come out of a fund balance that increasingly is getting diminished. That's where I'll stand on grants, and I'm happy to have that conversation at any time with council or anyone else about that.
Well, part of that logic, when Richard Colbert was town manager, you know, I said the same thing, you know, just because grant money is out there doesn't mean you have to, because it might be some Mickey Mouse project. And his thing was, if we don't do it, someone else is going to get it. And I thought, to me, that's not the right logic.
Well, but that's fine as long as there's money to take care of it, right? So you get a grant for building whatever, but then you have to factor in the 20% maintenance it's going to cost every year to take care of it.
Or the match.
You know, it's kind of like the trash truck, right? So you get a grant to help pay for the trash truck, but if we don't budget the proper amount of maintenance in, we're kind of on the arrears because we didn't budget the money to take care of it or the staff to take care of it. There's some things that I would like to see done around town, but you have to have people to do it or take care of it, or like the log cabin, right? So we'll get a grant to fix it up. There's going to need to be money in that budget to help keep and take care of it. Staff are going to need to take care of it. Things are going to need to be done to it every year that haven't been done to it. So mm-hmm. It's just a matter of parlaying, you know, if you get the grant, factor in 20% or whatever to keep it prolonged so that it stays, you know, nice in the way that we got it versus, you know, to keep it going, I guess, I should say.
We just had a discussion on Silver Line with zero discussion about operation and maintenance costs, other than somebody else is going to pay for it and the town's going to be on the hook for the fine. But oh, don't worry about it, we'll be paid, you know, we'll be reimbursed for it. That's a bad way to do business. That's all I can say.
Right. Okay, anything else, Councilman Maru? Councilman Phillips?
Yeah. Can we get somebody from town office to call Delmarva Power? Every year they give us 10 LED lights to replace our standard street lights and see where we are, because I was pretty sure we've already been on the list to put, or no, excuse me, 20 a year. And I was pretty sure we were on the list to have from South Main Street done all the way out to the light at Bloomingdale, or almost there, and just see where we are on the list to get those done and when they're taking requests for the next 20. I'd like to not lose our place on that list and keep, most people like them. Mayor Abner thinks it's a little bright shining in their house window.
Well, it's in your bedroom.
Yeah, both bedrooms. There's a reason we have darkening shades. A
couple months ago, Chop Tank came and expressed interest in perhaps expanding. Have we had any communications with them since?
I've had communication with Diddy Bowden, and she's not heard anything else as far as any interest they've expressed.
All right. And 6 months to a year ago, comment was made by, I believe it was John, that he was going to get Fed Brewing to remove that storage container to sit down in the flood zone. And it is still sitting there. Can we check on that, please?
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's all.
So I did have a chat with John about when I delivered meals, I had the
not sure whether it was the pleasure or what, going out Smithville Extended, which was an adventure. A, I can't believe our trash truck fits down there, and B, I almost lost my car in a giant pothole that was out that road.
I think you mean
Smith Street Extended. So he was going to come. There is tons of trash out there. So I guess John had said that the owner tends to come out with a dumpster to clean that up, but that should not be on that property owner's if the trash is coming from the house across the street. They have town trash cans, and they were overflowing. So I had asked John to contact them, reach out to that landlord, that if that is a rental, that they start taking care and picking up their trash that is blowing out of their trash can and depositing back there. Because, I mean, you can't see it from the street, but it's disgusting. It's just, it's nasty. There's a lot of streets that need to be cleaned up. We're working on, with John, trying to get the list. I would like to be able to publish a list of houses that we're working on. So when somebody asks what's up with the house, we can refer them to the list and say, this is what the town is actively pursuing and where we are in the pipeline with things. Kind of almost like a hit list of bad properties in town. Because there is some cases where, you know, John sent them several notices, or, you know, he's got approval, you know, to tear down the house, but then we have to have the money to actually tear down the house or whatever. There's a lot involved in that, and I think some people would be interested in knowing the whole process. There is a lot that we could stand to get rid of or have cleaned up. So we'll be working with John to getting it where it's a list that if you guys would have access to it, so that if somebody says, hey, what's up with 210 South Main Street, you could look up and say, oh, this is where we are in the process, this is what's happening. Somebody actively is giving somebody, you know, they actually are being tagged. We actually are involved with the landlords that are getting them trying to clean up their properties. So we actually are doing some things, and it doesn't just, you know, we're trying to fix the eyesore versus just having it be an eyesore. So, and then other than that, I don't think, thank you for everybody for the Chambers Park, the Lions Club Christmas thing was very well received. If you got a chance to go up and drive through it, it was really, really nice. Everybody that drove through really enjoyed it. I think next year it will be bigger and better than it was this year. So I think, unfortunately or fortunately, the Lions Club has ended up starting a new tradition that we will continue to grow and people will experience and enjoy over the Christmas holidays. So thank you to everybody who participated or came by.
Does that mean you're going to pick up the log cabin?
Am I going to pick it up? No, but somebody can be decorating
it.
Well, the Lions Club, there is a committee that has formed. We do have volunteers from the Historical Society that will be working with the Lions Club to try to start moving that project forward. So there is a group that will start working on that. So we'll have to have a meeting. And we'll get that scheduled. So if nobody has anything else, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Steve sent a text out to everybody. He looked on prices for the garbage truck.
Yeah.
Anywhere from $250 to $291.
Ouch. Does that drive itself? Is that like a Tesla trash truck where it does it all on its own? We don't have to have a staff member working.
And new truck, labor, and tipping fees is around $170,000. Per year.
Chew. Alrighty then. Yeah, I know, right? Maybe we should have gone with 5%. Oh. Okay, we'll add that to that list. If there is nothing else, then I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. That's a lot of money.